Hello, and welcome to another episode of Just Talk with Joe Meyer. I'm your host, Joe Meyer. Thank you for being here with me once again as we, or as I say, kick off this episode, the Easter edition, right? And I certainly wanted to take this time to maybe just give you a short message, even though you haven't heard from me in a while. My longer messages I'll hold off on right now, but you know the power of Easter, right? And the importance of Easter, right? As well of you all well know, I am a believer, a Christian, and I know some of you who listen to me may feel like, well, there's things that I stay on my pod that maybe don't seem very Christian-like, you know what I mean? But I'm still human. I'm still a flawed person. I still go through things. I'm not perfect. Only God is perfect, right? And I wanted to take this time to speak about that a little bit as we go off into, we went mostly through Easter week. Today was, yesterday was Good Friday, right? And so we're certainly coming to Easter tomorrow, right? But to kick off this episode, I'm gonna play this song that may it's a Christian rock band, just so you know, all right? And just so you know, the group's name is called Striper, right? Striper, right? They're a Christian rock band, right? And this one's appropriately called To Hell with the Devil. Christian metal, right? But I think if you listen to some of the words, you'll see where I'm coming from on this one, okay? Because and I have a short message, right? But here it is. All right. I'll let that play in the background a little bit. Jesus died for us. Died for our sins, right? And without Jesus, without him dying for us, without him going to the cross in excruciating pain, we would not have the ability to be saved because we're all sinners. I know some of us may feel like, well, I'm good. I don't do bad things. I don't hurt anybody. I live a good, clean life, right? I don't hurt anybody. And you know what? In all reality, we all hurt somebody, right? We're deceiving ourselves if we feel like we don't do any wrong in this world, right? We do. We do. We are all sinners, saved by grace, saved by the grace of God, right? And this is by far one of the most important, I guess you could say, holidays that we celebrate, but it's also a world history event. Right? Now some of you out there may not be Christians. You may not believe in Jesus or God. Maybe you have your own God. Maybe you believe in Buddha or Ganesh or whoever you believe in, right? But not Jesus, right? I hope in time you change your belief into knowing who the savior of the world is. Because there's a lot at stake, right? Our salvation, our life in eternity, our ability to, once we leave this earth, to have somewhere to go and not go to hell, right? You know, Jesus dying on the cross, fulfilling prophecy, as was told in the Bible, right? Is something that, you know, if people just read the Bible at least once, they would be transformed, right? They would be transformed. But often people want to reject the Bible, reject Jesus, reject his message, who he was. God was man and God at the same time, right? And then he was God, man, Holy Spirit, right? The Trinity, right? And thank God for that, right? Thank God that we can depend on Jesus to give us answers in the Bible, by prayer, by depending on him. Although it's not easy sometimes, right? Even we as Christians are not immune to adversity, difficulties, tragedies, hard times. I am one of the first people that I know that. You know, I know that, right? But Jesus gets us through things. He gets us through this life. He prepared a way in heaven for all of us to have, if we just choose him, if we believe in him. But that's not the end of it, right? Jesus wants us to follow his word. And that's very difficult for people. And I in a way I understand, because we live in a sinful world, and I'm not here to put down people. I'm not here to say, well, you know, this group of people are worse off than others. And I know sometimes in Christianity, in the church, they like to put down those who sin, you know, we all sin, don't get me wrong, but those who they consider bigger sinners, you know, maybe those who the church has said, oh, well, you know, the LGBTQ community, right? Or someone of that nature. But, you know, that's just one type of sin, right? Those individuals do have the ability to go to heaven as well, but they must turn from their sin, like all of us, and give our life to Jesus, right? I think one of the biggest sins that people can have, and I think Jesus talked about that, is pride, right? Pride is one of the biggest sins, you know, that Jesus talked about, and that's hard, you know. You know, because there are many of us who are prideful, right? And basically the Bible states that it's a great sin, expressed as an unhealthy, exaggerated attention to self and of elevated views of one's abilities, accomplishments, position, or possessions, Pride has been called the cancer of the soul, the beginning of all sin, and sin in its final form. And I'm reading this again, the sin of pride, right? So the sin of pride is an excessive preoccupation with self and one's importance, achievement, status, or possessions. How many people do you know like that? Maybe you're one of those people, right? And it's considered a rebellion against God because it attributes to oneself the honor and glory that only God is due, right? Pride is the opposite of humility, a character of quality that greatly pleases God and one he rewards. The Bible frequently talks of God humbling the proud. And how many times have we seen people who are very prideful humbled, right? And sadly, we are happy about that sometimes, right? We're like, oh yeah, that showed them, right? And it's not a good thing because, you know, I truly believe that, you know, we all have the ability to overcome pride, and it's not always something that we can do on our own, but we need Jesus to help us. We need Jesus to overcome that because naturally as people, we are selfish people. We care about ourselves way too much, right? I'm not saying you can't care about yourself or take care of yourself or love yourself, but we in society love ourselves a little way too much, right? We're too preoccupied with our own well-being, right? Instead of being humble, right? Charles Spurgeon described pride as an all-pervading sin. He said, pride is so natural to fallen man that it springs up in his heart like weeds in a well-watered garden. Its every touch is evil. You may hunt down this fox and think you have destroyed it, and lo and behold, your exhaustion is pride. Exaltation is pride. None have more pride than those who dream that they will have none. Pride is a sin with a thousand lives. It seems impossible to kill it, right? And I'm just reading different things here that I'm reading online, right? And it's true. You know, there's many people in the Bible that had pride, you know, such as the Pharisees and other Jewish leaders were most of the prideful people in the Bible. And we kind of seen that if you ever watched, you know, movies or read the Bible, of course, if you ever watched me and my wife are watching The Chosen. And also if you watched The Passion of the Christ, right, you see the incredible amount of pride that people have, like the Pharisees, right? And it's still going on today within people, right? You know? And, you know, I don't know if Jesus is ever going to, you know, that's one day pride is not going to be an issue, but in this fallen world it is, right? But in this message, it's about Easter, right? The power of Easter, the power of what God did for us, the power of his love, right? The power to destroy the devil, although the devil's not dead. The devil and his demons, his minions roam the earth right now. But the devil, you know, one day will be locked away for 1,000 years. Jesus will come back and resurrect, you know, what am I trying to say here? I'm getting too excited here about this because, you know, he will come back one day. You know, we don't know when. We don't know, you know, when that's going to happen, but it will be, right? You know, and each of us who are believers, you know, believe he's going to come back at certain times, right? You know, we're going to have trials and tribulations in this world, you know. If you read Revelations, you know, that's the book that lets us know he is coming back. But overall, we know that, right? You know, the Antichrist and what that's going to look like. The you know, in the 7 years and the rising of the devil and the mark of the beast. And there's just so much that is going to take place that I pray I'm not here. Okay, I don't want to be here during those times. I hope I'm already in heaven, right? By then, if it happens during this lifetime, I will. I hope Jesus takes me up with him. If not, I will surely not give my life over to the beast, right? But only God knows. I know in my heart that I love Jesus. I know in my heart that I believe in him, and I pray one day I will go to heaven when it's my time, right? I know I talk a lot about, things that people would consider sinful, a lot of things that I struggle with, especially things when we talk about like suicide or killing myself or hurting myself. And I know that's God is not pleased when he hears those things, right? It hurts God's heart to hear me talk about myself like that as being invaluable. But, God knows how valuable I am. I have a hard time seeing it myself. I do, right? But we are valuable. We have great value to God. He loves us, right? But he hates pride, right? So people who love God and godliness will reject pride. Here's just some scriptures I'm reading. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and ignorance, corruption and perverse speech. Proverbs 8:13. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. Psalm 101:5. The Bible warns people to evaluate themselves honestly for the sin of pride, because the privilege and authority of God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith of God has given us. Romans 12:3, right? Let's look at some Easter scriptures about that, he is risen, right? He is. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said, come see the place where he lay, Matthew 28:6, right? And there's many of them, right? Some of these, Romans 8:1:1. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. John 11:25-26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection, the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Right? So there's so much that we can trust in Jesus, right? During this time, I want to always remember Jesus and what he did for us. Remember his sacrifice. Remember the excruciating pain of being put on the cross and humiliated by, I know when we look at, films like The Passion, we see the Roman soldiers or we see Jesus beaten to a bloody pulp. And we're angry with how he's being treated. But we all treat, in many cases, we, and even in this society, we treat Jesus like that today. Yeah, we may not physically beat him, but we hurt him. People despise him, hurls vulgarities against him, put him down. And that hurts Jesus, right? That hurts Jesus. Right. Easter is not about, and I know we live in a very consumerized society with bunnies and eggs and egg hunts and I would be a liar if I said I didn't, at one point do those things with my daughter who was a child and a baby, because frankly she was too young to understand the power of Easter. But we did talk to her about it, right? And we still talk to her about it today because we want her to know the power of what Jesus did for her and I so that she can give her life to Jesus, right? I pray in my heart she will. I don't know if she has, but I always want her to know that Jesus loves her. He is our God, right? He died for us, and he is the only living God today, right? I'm not here to put down other gods, out there. That's not who I am. But I know my God is Jesus, right? Plain and simple, right? So we have to remember that. Remember, this time, read the Bible, right? Read the story of the Holy Week, what he went through, Palm Sunday, right? His walk to Jerusalem, right? Riding on the donkey. Right, these all have significance. These are not just stories, right? I know some people like to say, "Oh, well, it's just a story," right? No, it's not a story. It's his life. It's what he experienced. It's what was prophesized in the Bible about his coming, right? And his rising, right? And it's a beautiful, heartbreaking story. I know oftentimes people say, well, happy Easter, right? But in reality, Easter is not meant to be a happy time because it's about the greatest man, God, man that died in this world, Jesus, right? But I know in our culture, in our society, yeah, we people forget that. People forget, well, no, it's about the Easter bunny, right? Yeah, there is a significance to our culture about spring and Easter and eggs and fun and spending time with family. Don't get me wrong, those are all wholesome things at times, right? But the true meaning of Easter is about Jesus, and we must never forget that. Never, right? So, as like I mentioned, it's a short message, but let me read a scripture on here from my devotional from called Walking with Jesus from David Jeremiah. These are devotionals, right? And let me read this one here because it's important. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever. Revelation 1:18 says, British pastor Richard Bues said that during years before Jesus' arrival on earth, the world's greatest philosophers had debated issues of life and death. Then came the message of the resurrection of Jesus, wrote Bues in his book, The Resurrection, Fact or Fiction. If it had been simply a whispered legend of some unknown person living in Palestine, it might have remained an interesting after-dinner topic of conversation for a while. But here was far more than a story in an ancient book. People were completely transformed in outlook. The personality of Christ blazed out in their conviction, and they were ready to die for their unshakable confidence in the message of Christ, crucified and now alive forever. There's no way to overestimate the joy, praise, worship, admiration, and victory that floods our life because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of his resurrection, we can worship him. Take a moment and repeat the words of Jesus out loud. Sensing their wonder, I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And so let's pray, this Easter Sunday, and let me say, and this is a prayer I'm reading, but I believe it in my heart, okay? Oh Lord, you love me, excuse me. Oh Lord, you love this world so much that you gave your own one and only Son. That we might be called your children too, Lord. Help us live in this gladness and grace of Easter Sunday every day. Let us have our hearts of thankfulness for your sacrifice. Let us have eyes that look upon your grace and rejoice in yourself in our salvation. Please help us walk in that almighty or mighty grace and tell your good news to the world. All of your glory do we pray, Lord. Amen. All right. So God bless you in this time and this Easter Sunday, and bless you for those even though who don't believe in Jesus, but hope you do, right? Spend time with your family, your loved ones, And for those of you who are Christians, preach the word of God to those around you always, so that they can have everlasting salvation in this world just like you do, right? And that is my hope for you, right? God bless all of you as Jesus died on the cross for us, and he truly beat the devil, right, himself, you know. Until again, folks, thank you for joining me on Just Talk with Joe Meyer, this special short Easter edition. God bless.